for our scripture reading this evening, the book of Job, and we're going to read from chapter 25. It's a very short chapter, but we'll read into chapter 26 as well. Job chapter 25 and verse 1. Job chapter 25, verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm?" But Job answered and said, "How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counselled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom thou hast uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? Dead things are formed from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretches out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble, and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Though these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to his word that we have read this evening from those two chapters. And verse 4 is the text we want to dwell upon this evening. It contains two questions that this man Bildad, one of the friends of Job, he asked these two questions. Job 25 verse 4, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman?" How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come around the word of God. Our Father in heaven, we look to thee afresh for help now as we come to thy word. We pray that thou will bless thy truth this evening. Bless it savingly, O Lord, to some heart. We pray that these questions might become very personal, and that each one of us would give thought to how these questions are answered in relation to ourselves. And we pray, Lord, that those that cannot look to an answer, as we have it in the Word of God, might this night come and seek the Saviour, come to know him, come to know his cleansing power. Lord, we have been singing of that precious blood that was shed to cleanse away our sins. We pray that that might be our hope and confidence, and that each one might know the blood applied to their own hearts and lives. Close us in with thyself, we pray now. Give help, we ask, the help of the Holy Spirit, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These two questions that we want to consider this evening are part of a whole series of profound spiritual questions that are to be found in the book of Job. There's many questions, even that portion that we have read tonight. There's many questions in these two chapters, 25 and 26. But if we even narrow it down to think about profound spiritual questions, there are a whole series of them to be found in the book of Job that these two form a part of. For example, Job 1 verse 9, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" That was asked by Satan to the Lord. Job 9 verse 2, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" Another one is found, Job 11 verse 7, "Can thou by searching find out God?" Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Job 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Job 14 and verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? And the last one we'll take, just to complete this series, Job 22 and verse 2, can a man be profitable unto God? So there's just a little sample of some of these profound spiritual questions that are to be found in the book of Job. And they are questions that the Bible gives an answer for. It's not as if they're just left hanging in the air and there's no answer and we're at a loss and we'll never be able to find out, well, what is the answer to these questions? The Word of God gives an answer to each one of these questions that we have mentioned here. And the two that we want to come to dwell upon this evening in chapter 5, verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? And how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Because they join in this group of profound spiritual questions that the Word of God has an answer for. Now, the greater part of this book of Job is a dialogue that takes place between Job and his four friends. His friends are Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and then there's a younger man by the name of Elihu, and he doesn't speak until the other friends have spoken. He's younger, he acknowledges that, and he says that age should speak first, and he gives his older friends the opportunity to speak first. And the dialogue that goes on between Job and his four friends is centered around the cause of his sufferings. According to his three friends, the three older ones, the cause of Job's sufferings is because of some secret sin on Job's part. And they are exhorting Job to repent and to confess and to acknowledge that there's some secret sin that he has kept from them, kept from view of anybody that knows him, but the Lord knows it, and this is the source of all of his troubles. According to Job himself, he states that he believes his sufferings is due to God's arbitrary will, that there is no reason in these things, as he could see them. According to Elihu, it is because God is sovereign and God works out a purpose in all that he does. And Elihu, being the youngest, he was younger than Job, and he was younger than Job's other three friends. He was the one who was getting near the truth. He was the one who was getting right at the crux of the matter, that God was sovereign in all that he does, and God was working out a purpose. As we know, the Lord was demonstrating to the devil that Job did not fear God for what he got out of God, but that he would be sustained and that he would remain faithful to the Lord. But in the midst of this dialogue that there is between Job and his friends, we come across many of these questions that are asked, spiritual questions, questions that don't have to deal with life itself in the sense of the material or the physical world that we live in. Although there are many questions along that line, and even into chapter 26, we've read some of them there this evening, but there are a whole series of questions that are addressed to us on the spiritual plane. And these are two that we want to dwell upon this evening for a little while. The first thing I want you to consider here is these two questions pondered. In highlighting the contrast between an infinite God and a puny man, Bildad asks these two questions. Because if you look at Job 25, it's a short chapter, but if we try to ponder these questions in the context in which they are found, or at least the immediate context in which they are found, and this is the thought that is brought home to us, that this man Bildad has some understanding of the greatness of God and how infinite God is and how unworthy creatures of the clay are. Because you look there at verse 6, for example, Job 25 and verse 6, he asks this question, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man that is a worm. So Bildad has got a sense of God's greatness and man's puniness, if we want to put that word on it. Just how small he is, he describes him here as nothing more than just a worm. In fact, even less than a worm. He's just so low, so a creature of the clay compared to the infinite God of heaven. And because of his consciousness of this, then he asks and poses these questions. How can a man be justified with this holy God? How can a man be clean before this holy God? A man who's only a worm.
in God's eyes.
How can a man be justified and a man be made clean? And there is here some understanding on Bildad's part, just how puny we are, but not only just how puny we are, but how sinful we are. You see, the word that Bildad uses here is a word that has a particular meaning. You'll see there in verse 4, he says, "How then can man be justified with God?" And it's not the usual word for man that we find in the Old Testament, the word that we get Adam from. As you know, the word Adam means man. And Adam was given that name because he was the first man. But this is not the word that's found in Job 25 and verse 4. There's another word that is found here in this verse that is translated man. And it's a word that means sickly man. Sickly man. It's used in that sense. It is used to denote a weak man. A frail individual. Turn over to Job 34 and you'll find here another place where it appears in the book of Job, not too far away from where we are. Job 34 and verse 6. Job 34 and verse 6. It says, "Should I lie against my right, my wound is incurable without transgression." And the word incurable is exactly the same word here as we have in Job 25 verse 4 translated man. It means sickly, weak. And there he's, Job is talking or Elihu is speaking in Job 34 and verse 6, and he says, "My wound is incurable," because he's answering Job back here. But he uses this word and he gives us a little insight into the meaning here. It has got the sense that man of himself is incurably sick. And we're not just talking about him in the physical sense. We're incurably sick in that sense, in that we're mortal creatures and that we're dying creatures in this world. But we're thinking about it here in another sense, trying to understand why is Bildad posing these two questions. How can a man be justified? How can a man be made clean before God? Particularly in the light of the fact that he's a worm. That's all that he is, physically speaking, but also in the sense that he's a sickly individual, sick with sin, sick before God. So we can understand something then, I think, of the significance of why Bildad is here posing these questions. Because he understands something of our own makeup before God and how we stand before this infinite God, not only as a worm just made of the clay and nothing more, but in the sense that we are sickly before God. Incurably sick before God. Sick with sin. So therefore, how can a man be justified when God looks down from heaven and sees us in this way, the one who is acquainted with all our ways, when before whom it is impossible to hide anything from? How can man ever be expected to be justified before this all-knowing, this all-seeing God, this God who knows our thoughts and actions afar off, our secret sins and our open sins are all known to him? And you see, man will certainly not try to justify himself. We can't justify ourselves before this holy God. This God who looks down and sees us nothing more as a worm and a sickly individual, incurably sick. How could we ever attempt to justify ourselves? How can man be justified seeing that our best efforts before God are deemed to be just filthy rags in his sight? If we go over to Isaiah 64 and try to fill in some details here about what it is Bildad has asked. He's asked the question, how can a man be clean? Well, it certainly emphasizes the point here in verse 60, chapter 64 of Isaiah, in verse 6, that we are in need of being cleansed. Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf." There's the idea of sickliness coming in again. "We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." We are unclean. But how can we ever be made clean? How can we ever be made justified before God? When we are in such a state, we're just a worm in God's sight, made of the clay, and we're sickly, incurably sick before God with sin. That brings in one of those other questions that we mentioned there in the book of Job 14 and verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? You see, this defilement of sin runs in the human race. And that's another thought that Bildad is here bringing before us in Job 25, verse 4. He says, How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And why does he frame it in that sense? It's because of the fact that sin is passed on. The sinfulness, the sickliness in the human race is passed on from generation to generation. And we have Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And here it's asked, how can he be clean that is born of a woman? It's because every generation passes on to the next generation. This sinfulness, this sickliness before God. This fact that we need to be justified and that we need to be cleansed before God. These are all things that Bildad is conscious of. And they're questions that we do well to ponder ourselves tonight. How can we be justified? How can we be made clean? Saying we are in this state before God. This is how God looks down from heaven and he sees us. So you have the questions pondered. I want you to notice secondly, the two questions connected. The two questions connected. There's more than just a connection in the fact that they're found in the verse, or that there's this series of profound spiritual questions that run through the book of Job. There's another connection here. A large portion of the book of Job in this part that we are reading and thinking about tonight is written in the style of Hebrew poetry. And a chief characteristic of Hebrew poetry is that it is written in parallelism. There are certain corresponding thoughts or words that are found in subsequent clauses. And that's something that is very peculiar to Hebrew in the Old Testament. And you have it in the Psalms and you have it in the book of Job as well. So it's not a matter of rhyming. You know, if somebody's seeking to compile a poem in our language, in English, well, they're wanting lines and words to rhyme and so on. Well, that's not what happens in the Old Testament language, in Hebrew. Rather, in Hebrew, there is this thought of parallelism, where the next clause either adds to what has gone before, or in some cases is a contrast with what has gone before. Let me give you two very obvious examples. Psalm 23, verse 1. Is an example of them adding something to each line. The Lord is my shepherd, is the first line, I shall not want. There's the idea of parallelism, where there's something being added to the line that has gone before. If we go back to Psalm 1 verse 6, you have an example of the contrast. For Psalm 1 verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's the contrast. So you have those two different options that appear in Hebrew poetry. Well, when we come here to Job 25, they're not set in contrast. They're connected. They're adding something to each clause. And the first clause asking about justification, how is a man justified before God? The second one is asking, how is a man made clean before God? And there is a connection, you see. And this is the connection. Spiritual uncleanness affects our standing before God. Justification is about our standing before God. It's a legal term that appears in the Bible. That's evident from Deuteronomy 25 and verse 1, when the judges were set up in the land of, or among the children of Israel in the wilderness. Moses commanded them in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 1 that they were to justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. There's the sense of a courtroom as a legal process. And justification is a legal term where someone is declared just before the law, or they're declared condemned before the law. Those are the two opposites, either justification or condemnation. So when we think here about this term justified, we're talking about our legal standing before God. In what state do we stand before God? Are we sinners condemned? Or are we those who are declared righteous and justified by the merit of Christ? What is our standing before God? Justification is about that. But if we are unclean in our nature, if we have got this taint of sin within us that is passed on from generation to generation and is evidenced in the fact that we are sickly mortal creatures that are going to die, then that affects our standing before God. And that's why here now in this portion that is before us tonight, Job 25 and verse 4, these two questions should be joined together. And they're connected one with the other because spiritual uncleanness affects our standing before God. If we have the taint of sin uncleansed, unconfessed, unforgiven within us, then we cannot stand before God in any other way than what to be condemned before Him. You see, spiritual uncleanness condemns us before God. We are unclean. We've sought to establish that point. We're unclean. The Bible tells us that. We are as an unclean thing. And because we are unclean, we are condemned before God. John chapter 3, verse 18, it reads, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." It's not as if we're waiting someday, and it's then that we're going to be weighed in the balances, and then we're going to be condemned. We're condemned now if we haven't turned to Christ and believed on Jesus Christ for the cleansing of our sins and the saving of our souls. We're condemned now. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus. "He that believeth not is condemned already." If you haven't believed in Jesus Christ and sought Him for the cleansing that He has promised to bring to you, then you are condemned tonight. So these two questions are very much connected one with the other. Spiritual uncleanness affects our standing before God. Spiritual uncleanness makes us to be condemned before God. Spiritual uncleanness, you see, leaves us in need of being justified before God. As I say, this term justification is a courtroom term, where God declares that someone is no longer answerable for their sins because someone has paid the price of their sins and taken their place and stood in their stead and suffered in their room and in their stead. And that person who ought to have been condemned can go out free because someone has paid the debt of their sins. Justification relates to that. And if we are unclean tonight, if we are sinful, and this trait of sin and taint of sin is in us all by nature, it's handed on from generation to generation, there's not one of us that escapes that. We are all as an unclean thing. Then we need justification tonight. Then the question that is here before us, how can a man be justified before God, is absolutely vital then to us. It's something that ought to interest us. It ought to have a very personal application to us because it affects every one of us without exception. We are in need of being cleansed and we are in need of being justified before God. The questions are connected. That brings us to the third point I want us to consider, and that's these two questions answered. As I said at the very start, the Word of God gives an answer to these questions. They're not just left there hanging in the air for us to ponder them and well, one person can come to one conclusion, somebody else comes to another conclusion, a third person may come to a totally different conclusion. The Word of God is very clear in how we are to answer these questions. These spiritual questions are answered, every one of them. And we listed a number there at the beginning of the message this evening. Every one of them the Bible has an answer for. You see, that's the very purpose of having a Bible. It is to answer these profound spiritual questions. It's not to leave us with the possibility that we could end up answering it ourselves and getting it wrong. The Word of God is given to us that we don't make mistakes and that we know exactly what it is that God requires if we are to be cleansed and we are to be justified. This is the purpose of having the Word of God, and therefore those profound questions, and every one of them, a whole series of them, we can expect to find an answer in the Scriptures. We can expect to find an answer. The first thing we have to say is, just to pick up on a point again that we have mentioned a little, is that we certainly cannot do anything to help ourselves in this matter. How can a man, that's how it starts there, how then can a man be justified? How can he be clean? Well, the first thing we have to say is, it's nothing that you or I can do for ourselves. We can't justify ourselves. We cannot cleanse ourselves. Remember the word that is used here, this word that indicates man as being weak and sickly and frail. There's another word in the Old Testament language that means a mighty man. And you'll think of places in the Bible where that word, that phrase actually appears in our English Bible, a mighty man. And there's a totally different word that is referred to that individual. And it's talking there about someone in, maybe in the sense of being a mighty soldier. He was a mighty man. Or being a man of God. He was a mighty man. Well, that's a totally different word that appears here in Job 25 and 4. This word means sickly, weak and frail. And it underscores the point, you and I can do nothing. Do nothing. Either to cleanse ourselves or to justify ourselves. So if there is an answer that is going to be given to these questions, we're going to have to look for that answer outside of ourselves. We're going to have to look to the Lord for an answer. We are so full of sin that we are unable to do anything. We will have to look to the Lord to perform this work of justifying sinners and cleansing them. And when we come to the gospel, we discover that's exactly what it's fitted to do. It's fitted to justify sinners. It's fitted to cleanse us from our sins. That's the purpose of the gospel. That's the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. It is that we might be justified and that we might be cleansed from sin. The gospel is what we need. That's why it is to be preached. That's why it's to be preached tonight in a gospel meeting. That's why it's to be preached in all the world. The Bible tells us. Every individual is to hear the gospel. Wherever man is found, he's to hear the gospel because it's designed to meet his need. It's designed to answer these two questions. How am I to be justified before God? How am I to be cleansed? The gospel has the answer. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's take the two thoughts. First of all, how can we be justified? Well, we've said that justification is the picture of the courtroom, of the judge. Of the judge declaring us to be righteous and therefore free from condemnation, free from having any sin to answer for. How does that come about? Well, that only comes about when somebody has paid the price of our redemption. When somebody has paid the price for our sin. There's no other way to be justified before God than that. Someone has to pay the debt that we owe to God because of our sins. Somebody has to pay the price. There is this charge. Our charge sheet that lists all of our sins. And every one of those sins deserve his wrath and his curse. Someone has to pay. Someone has to suffer that wrath and that curse. Someone has to cancel the debt that's owed to the law of God. And only when that is cancelled and that price is paid and a sufficient price is paid, only then can justification take place. And is that not what Jesus Christ did when he came into this world and went to the cross? Laying down his life, did he not there make payment? Was he not there settling a debt? Did he not say himself that he had come to give his life as a ransom for the many? There's the thought of payment. He had come to give his life as a payment for the many. Christ came to pay the price of sin. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he hung on the cross. That's why in the very midday, there was darkness that came down upon the cross as God punished his own son and poured out upon him the wrath that was due to sin so that he might make payment for sin. And if we are to be justified, then it's Christ's payment that has to be taken as our payment. We have to come to Christ. We have to come to Christ. He is the one who justifies sinners. He justifies sinners. He will justify you tonight if you come to Christ. And there are those in this meeting who have come to Christ. They have realized they cannot justify themselves and they cannot cleanse themselves. And they have come to Christ and they have sought Christ. And they are depending tonight upon the payment that he made when he shed his blood and gave his life there as a ransom for the many. They are taking that ransom price as the payment for their sins. God will take that ransom price as payment for their sins. God will take it. God will accept Christ's payment for sin that he made at the cross. And therefore tonight, to answer this question directly with regards to each one of us, how then can man be justified with God? Only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only through what he did. You see, you have to come to Christ tonight. Every one of us are in exactly the same condition and in the same need. We must come to Christ. We must humble ourselves and be willing to acknowledge, I need to be justified. I need to be cleansed. I have to come to Christ. I have to take the sinner's place. I have to be like multitudes before me
who have been saved and who are now in heaven rejoicing in Jesus Christ. I have to be like them. I have to take the sinner's place if I am to be justified before God. And if I do not take the sinner's place, and if I do not come and seek Jesus Christ, I'll never be justified. Doesn't matter what else I might have. And there's plenty of people tonight, and they have religion. They have religion, they have outward morality. They might even have good standing among people that know them. But that doesn't add up to being justified. What is needed to be justified is coming to Jesus Christ and trusting in His payment that He has made for sin to cancel out our debt, so that God the Judge can then declare, with regards to you and me individual, there is no sin to answer for. It has been paid in full by Jesus Christ at the cross. That person is justified. That person is no longer condemned. That person now can go out righteous. That's justification. Christ is the answer. But Christ is also the answer when we come to the second of these questions and answer it. How can he be clean that is born of a woman? This sinful tendency, this defilement of sin that is within us. How is that dealt with? That's why Christ shed his blood. And the Bible tells us that there is a cleansing power in his precious blood. There's a cleansing power in his precious blood. If you go over to Isaiah chapter 1, we were singing a hymn at the start of the meeting, that Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And here's the cleansing power and effect of the blood of Christ, although the term blood of Christ doesn't appear in this verse itself, but here's the effect of it. The Lord says, "Come now, let us reason together. Let's give this thought," he says. Let's consider this matter. Let's reason it out. You're unclean. You're born of a woman. Sinful tendency runs in us all. It's part of being a human being. We're all sinners by nature and practice, and we need this cleansing. And only the Lord can cleanse us. We have to come to him. And the scarlet sins and the crimson sins can be washed and made, we can be made whiter than the snow. There's cleansing power in Jesus Christ's blood tonight. That blood was shed to cleanse. If I can take you to one more reference, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The verse reads, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other." And this is the part we want to notice. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And the next verse goes on to say, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." We cannot, you see, that's the point that Bildad is acknowledging. We cannot say we have no sin. We cannot say that we are not unclean. We are sinners. We are unclean. And it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be cleansed from sin. So Christ is the answer to the two questions. How am I justified? It's through the payment that Christ made at the cross. How am I cleansed? It's by the blood that he shed at the cross. He shed it for the cleansing of my sin. And if I come to Christ and I believe on him and I accept him as my Savior, then I can know what it is to be justified and I can know what it is to be made clean. It's illustrated for us in, remember the lepers that came to, there was a number of them, but remember the lepers that came to seek the Lord Jesus during his time here on earth? They were people who were unclean. In fact, a leper had to go around Israel saying that. When somebody approached them, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" So they would warn the people approaching them to stay away, that they were ceremonially unclean. That they had this disease of leprosy. They were put out. Wouldn't be allowed into the temple, wouldn't be allowed into the synagogue, the places of worship. They had no standing before God in that sense. They were ceremonially unclean. The people didn't want them anywhere about them because of this terrible disease of leprosy. And we read of different individuals coming to the Lord and being clean. Some of them even asked the Lord with those words, "Make me clean." And the Lord cleansed them from their leprosy. He made them clean. And he also gave them a standing again before him, before the people. And tonight you see that's exactly what you and I have to do. We have to come to Christ. And if we are to be justified, we are to have this standing before God, and only the justified will enter heaven. If we are to be made clean before God, only the clean will enter into heaven. Then we must come to Christ. We must come personally and individually to Him. We must take the sinner's place and acknowledge, Lord, I need to be justified. I need to be cleansed, and I'm trusting Thee to do it. That's what You've promised in the Word of God. The gospel, you see, demands a response. And tonight, if you know not the Lord as your Savior, and you're not justified, and you've not been cleansed yet, then come to Christ this night. Come to Him. He'll cleanse you. He'll wash you. He'll take you in. He'll justify you. But you've got to come. You've got to come. May you do so. May the Lord bless His word.